reading this morning, the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Matthew, chapter number 8. It's good to see all the preachers here this morning, the pastors and evangelists. And you understand where I am this morning. I ask you to pray for me. I need the Lord's help. So good to see Brother Teague, and I tell you, enjoy this brother so much. And he also recently preached us a meeting and had a wonderful, wonderful revival, and we appreciate him and his wife. They're a blessing to us. And I love God's people, don't you? They are the best people in the world, and I appreciate the saints of God. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8, read verse 18, then we'll go to verse 23. Matthew, chapter number 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That'd be enough for our reading this morning. I want to preach, the Lord to help me on the thought, severe saints, or severe storms and steadfast. I've known some severe saints. But severe storms and steadfast saints. Amen. I ask you to pray with us here this morning. Severe storms and steadfast saints. When you study every miracle that our Lord performed when he lived in this world in a human body, when he lived in human flesh, you will see that with every miracle that he performed, there was a great message. In fact, I believe that the message behind the miracle was even greater than the miracle itself. For example, in the beginning of this chapter, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it speaks about the leper that come to Jesus worshiping him and saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. The Bible said that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And that was a great miracle that day when Jesus healed that leper, but the message was even greater. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of deliverance from sin. When you study leprosy, you find that it is a type of sin. The symptoms of leprosy are that similar to that of sin. And so the message is greater than the miracle. In fact, the devil don't mind the miracles. He don't mind the healings as much as he does the message. Amen. I said he don't mind the miracles as much as he does the message. That man that was healed on the way at the gate called Beautiful, when Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, they didn't get mad because that man was healed. They got mad because of the message that followed the miracle. And so when you study the miracles of our Lord, you find that the message is more significant than the miracle is. Because it declares something to us. Not only did it declare something to that generation that witnessed our Lord in human flesh, but to every generation that should follow. It is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. When you read about the miracles and you hear the message, it just plainly states that God is faithful. Ain't you glad this morning that God is faithful? I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't been faithful. Because fact of the matter is, there's been times since I've been saved that I hadn't been so faithful. There's been times since I've been in the family of God that I failed, that I didn't do it right. I have not always been faithful. Now, I'm not advocating unfaithfulness. I believe we need to preach it and we need to be faithful. But we must all be honest and say there's been times that our faithfulness to God has waned and grown thin. But the reason why we're still here this morning is not because we are faithful, but because God is faithful. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. The miracles are simply telling us that God is a faithful God. And I know that this story that I read to you has been preached from many times and many different ways, and I don't have a new way to preach it, but I do feel like the Lord dealt with my heart last night. And of course, I'm a pastor, and so I have preached this to my folks, and I hope it goes over as good as it did there. Amen. Y'all praying for me this morning. Amen. I want to preach to you about these severe storms and these steadfast saints. Amen. Notice in our text that Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he said, he gives them commandment to depart to the other side. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest of wind. The first thing that I see when I read this text is a storm that is raging. And I understand this morning that we are in a convention, a camp meeting, I reckon's another word for it. And there's probably all type of needs that are in this house this morning. There's probably some folks needing healing. There's probably some folks that's drifted away from God, and you're not where you need to be, and you need some reproof, and you need some rebuke. But I dare say this morning, there's probably many saints of God among us here this morning. Amen. You are in a storm that is raging. Amen. You're in a battle for your soul. You come to camp meeting, and the winds are blowing against you. You come to camp meeting and the waves are beating against you, and you come because you're storm weary and you need the help of God. I tell you, storms, just because we are saints of God, it does not mean that we are exempt from the storms. Now I will say, that most of the storms that I found myself in, Brother Austin, I was there because I had been disobedient. I hadn't followed the Lord like I should have. I didn't do it like he said. I didn't listen to what the Holy Ghost said. I didn't listen to the pastor when he warned me. Amen. And I found myself in a storm. In Acts 27, it talks about Paul's on his way to Rome, and he gives them the warning. He said, it's not a good time to sail. Amen. There's going to be a lot of damage and much harm, not only to the ship, but maybe even of your lives. And the Bible said that the master and the owner of the ship believed, amen, everybody else other than the man of God. Hey, I mean, they didn't want to hear what that old holiness preacher said, and they believed somebody else. And you know what happened? They found themselves in the storm of their life because they did not listen to the man of God. I said they did not listen to the man of God. Hey, amen. I tell you, I don't want to be in the storm because of disobedience. I don't want to be in the storm because I didn't listen. I didn't obey, and I didn't do what the Lord said. But can I tell you, there are times in your walk with God that you can do everything right, that you can pray and read your Bible and be faithful to the man of God and the house of God and do everything that the Bible said and still find yourselves in a storm. I read where the Bible said, and when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. They were in that storm because they followed him. And I feel like the Lord dealt with my heart last night. That there's probably some here. You're in the storm because you haven't followed him. And I'm glad he's a merciful God, ain't you? But I believe there's probably some among us that you're in the storm of your life because you have followed him. You have done what he says. You have obeyed the word of the Lord. And you are in the storm of your life, a storm that is raging. And can I tell you this morning, sometimes the storms of life are sudden. I mean, things can be going good one minute. I mean, the sun is shining. You just had one of those Holy Ghost services, one of those running services where the Spirit of God come by. And you know, it's kind of funny how we judge the success of a service, whether or not the preacher got to preach or not. It was so good the preacher didn't even get to preach. Don't get me wrong, I like those kind. There's times I don't want to preach, I'll be honest with you. That's right. Oh, I mean, it's still going good. The sun is shining. The south wind's blowing softly. Ain't that what happened in Acts 27 when they believed? Amen. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Amen. More than the man of God. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they begin to set sail. But I read where the Bible said, but not long after, arose against it a tempestuous wind called Jerocadon. I mean, just the sun was just shining. The wind, that warm wind, was blowing. It was of all indication it's a good time to go. But all of a sudden, the storm begins to rage. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that? I remember just before my mother passed away, we went to our home church at that time, Grace Chapel, Holiness Church. And it was on a Friday night. We went to a revival service, and we were just going to be going. Didn't expect to get what we was going to get. And you might as well be honest. There's been times you just went to be going. You didn't come with purpose and intention of worshiping God and getting in. But God had mercy, and he moved. And that's kind of how it was, Brother T. We went. And just felt like going and wanted to go, show our support. Really didn't expect anything out of the ordinary. God moved in that service. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came by and he moved. They asked me and my wife to sing, and I'm not a singer, she is, but we got up and sang that night. Didn't know it, but God just was going to come by in a mighty way, and he did. Spirit of God moved, no preaching that night, just a great, not because we were singing, God just moved. And I left there that night, and I felt like, man, I didn't expect God to do that. That's my words to my wife. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that. I went home that night and I was just thinking about the service. Laid down on the couch, Brother Bill, thinking about the service, and I fell asleep. I mean, just feeling good about what God had done. I remember about 3 o'clock that morning I woke up. I went and got in the bed, laid down, went back to sleep. And about 6 o'clock that morning, my brother called me, and when I answered the phone, he said, James, it's Quincy. I said, what's going on? What's the matter? He said, James, Mama's dead. Mama's gone. No, Quincy, don't tell me that. Yes, she's gone. Now, you got to understand, I didn't have a dad when I was growing up. I didn't have a father when I was growing up. So she was a mother and a father to me. And she was everything. She was my world. I told him, I'm a mama's boy and proud of it. I said, I'm a mama's boy. I'm not a sissy, but I'm a mama's boy. That's right. I got the call. And what I'm trying to illustrate is this. Amen. Sometimes, amen, things can be going good. You could be on the mountain. The sun is shining. And all of of a sudden, here comes that storm. I said, here comes that storm. It's sudden. It's just at a moment's notice. Amen. We're living in times of great spiritual storm. And you may be doing good now, but hold on. The winds are going to blow and the storm's going to rage. Not only are they sudden, but they're severe. Not just your average storm. Not just a little drizzle. Not just a little breeze. But sometimes they're extreme. And I don't know about you, and I'm going to try to hurry up. But I don't know about you. The closer I get to the Lord's return, the further I go with God, the more severe the storms are. The stronger the winds are, the stronger the waves are. I tell you, I don't want to preach us down this morning, but maybe that's where you're at. You say, preacher, I'm in the greatest storm of my life. It is the most severe storm that I've ever faced. What did he say? There arose a great tempest, not just a tempest, a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves. In Mark 4:37, he said, there arose a great storm of wind, and so much that the waves beat into the ship, and the ship was now full. You see, a ship ain't meant to hold water. It's meant to repel. And when waves get on the inside, brother, amen, something's going to happen if God don't move. I have found out, if I'm not careful, I can allow the storms from without to get on the inside of me. I can be so storm driven that the waves get on the inside and I'm short with my wife. I said me because you can't get mad if I say it. But you know you've been there too. Say amen. Maybe not all of you. Amen. Or I can get short with my children. I get it. Y'all may not believe it, pastors. I can even get aggravated with my church. Crazy, ain't it? Severe saints, amen. But that storm so rages on the outside. Somehow it finds its way on the inside. And not only is there a storm beating from the outside, but there's a storm raging on the inside. Amen. I'm talking about severe storms. I'm talking about not your average and not your ordinary. Amen. Storms that threaten your faith. Storms, amen, that say you're going down this time. You're going under this time. You're not going to make it. You might have made it through many a storm, but this will be the storm that brings you down. Has the devil ever told you that? This is going to be the storm that's going to bring you down. This is going to be a severe storm. I got to hurry up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. From this world of sin. And he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. I've come to church this morning. I've seen folks with lifted hands. I've seen folks worshiping God last night. God moving. I've seen folks with victory. I've seen folks on the mountain. But we don't always stay there. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And with some of you, you come not a burden on your heart, and God bless you. But there were some of you with hands raised. There were some of you in these altars. There were some of you on your feet backing up the man of God, and you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That means much. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire. And we said, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange. Preacher, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing is. I don't even know why the devil's battling me with this. I ain't having a battle with this ever. I've never struggled with this issue in my life. It's a fiery trial. I said it's a fiery trial. And the devil knows he has but a short season. And that's why he sends these severe storms and these sudden storms. Amen. But I want to tell you, in the midst of severe storms, we can remain steadfast. We can remain unmovable. We can always abound in the work of the Lord. I know when we preach this, many times we talk about their unbelief. How could they doubt our Lord like that? If I would have been them, I'd have never even questioned. You better repent. God's done far more for you than he done for them, and you still question sometimes. I do. But I want to preach this from a negative side. Is that okay? Or a positive side? I'm going to get this right if the Lord will help me. Talk to you about a storm that is raging. But when I read this text, not only do I see a storm that's raging, but Brother Teague, I see a saints that are relying. Now, I know Jesus said, why are you fearful? One place he said, why are you so fearful? And there was a lot of fear there. I said, there was a lot of fear there. Their fear was substantial. Are you hearing me? Amen. Their fear was substantial. Their fear outweighed their faith. Amen. If you put fear next to faith, amen, fear was a mountain and faith was a molehill. Amen. And Jesus said, why are you fearful? The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is an indication that there's a shortage of faith. And Jesus did say, why are ye so fearful? But then in this next little phrase, I don't believe it was as rebuking as we make it out to be. O ye of little faith. Now, I don't know where you are today, but I know where I have been. Can I be honest? I know where I have been in recent days. And I confided in a brother. Called him up and said, brother, I need the help of God. I don't know what to do. I literally don't know what to do. We get one thing straight, and here comes something else. We get that straight, and here comes something else. And I didn't come up here to boo-hoo and have a pity party this morning. That ain't why I'm preaching. I'm just telling you by my experience. You know what happened? Fear was mounted up. Amen. And it was more than my faith. But you know what, Brother Lewis? I still had a little faith. I still had a little faith. Amen. I know we rebuke these men, but let us commend them. Let us commend them. You know what they could have done? They could have bailed ship, swam to shore. They could have done anything but what they did. But what did they do? They went down to where Jesus was asleep, and they woke him up, and they said, hey, we're going down. We're going under. We're not going to make it. If something don't change, they might have had a lot of fear, but they had a little faith. And can I tell you, that faith was sufficient. I said that faith was sufficient. Woo! Oh, God, help me right here. Saying to God, you know why the devil tells you to stay away from the house of God when you're in the storm? Because he knows if you go, you're going to get what you need. You may have come with a lot of fear and you're sitting on this pew. You say, Brother Jamie, the fear is stacked up right now. It's so great, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what? I see a little faith. You're here. You're here. You're in the right place. Amen. I said you are in the right place. They realize where their help was. They realize where their strength was. They realize where their deliverance was. Amen. I may not have a lot of faith, but I got enough to know where I need to go when I'm in trouble. Psalms 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Hold on one second. Will you hold on one second? Don't sit down, please. Oh, Lord, help me right here. Anybody know where the book of Psalms is? I can find it. If I was up here not preaching, I could find it. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Oh, Lord, help me. We're going to get there. Psalm 120. In my distress. You hear that? I'm distressed. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me. Sounds pretty bad, brother. Woe is me. My soul has longed to dwell with them that hateth peace. My soul hateth long to dwell with him that hateth peace. I'm in a bad place right now, and I need deliverance. I'm in the greatest woe of my life. Psalms 120. But Psalms 121, Brother Cooper, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brother, I ain't got a lot of faith, but I got enough to know where he's at. And I got enough to wake him up. I got enough to let him know, Lord, I need your help. I'm gonna try to hurry and bring this to a close. That's why Hebrews 4 gives us the remedy. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Brother, I'm holding on, but the wind's strong and I'm about to lose my grip. Hold fast. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then he said, let us. That means me. Devil said, you'll never make it. Why even try? Because devil, he said, let us. That means me. Let us therefore come unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I know the storm was raging, but I see there's a few men that's got their confidence. Brother Barty, is that right? Amen. And a God that cannot, not a created God, an eternal God, the eternal Son of God. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that dwell beside of God in eternity past said, come to me. Amen. And I'll give you grace and I'll give you mercy. Amen. Listen, I tell you, you're in the right place. You're in the right place and you can get what you need. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Find grace. find grace. I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm wanting to find some grace. Amen. I'm going to need some grace. I said, I'm going to need some grace. Huh? Did the devil almost talk you out of coming? Huh? But something said, I need some grace. And I know last time I went, he was there. Said they've been here 5 times and let Brother Earl Kinlaw left 5 times in the last 5 years. He said, we enjoy coming back. You know why? Because every time they come, they find grace. They get something. I said, they get something, and I'm going to hurry up and move out of the way. But I'd like to tell you, amen, you're in the right place. There's a Savior that cares. Amen. You say, brother, my fear is so great. I just don't know. Let me tell you, I've come with some I don't knows. I've come with some I don't understand. I've come with some why me, God. I have. I've got some of them. But I know where my help is. I know where grace is found. And it's right here in the house of God among holy saints of God that know how, amen, to bring the presence of God down. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, you can get steadfast. I got them. I got questions. But I also got the answer that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I want to leave you with this morning because I don't want to take up too much time here. I read to you about a storm that's raging. I read to you about saints that are relying. Can I tell you about a Savior that's rescuing? Oh, yeah. And I'm glad he's patient. Even though he rebuked them in a way and said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? There's a hint of rebuke. Why would you doubt me after all I've done for you? Huh? But I tell you, when you read on, the Bible says that's all he said. He stood up. And he looked at that storm that was causing them men to tremble. He looked at that storm that was causing them men to shake. That literally did not know what was going to happen next. But they had enough of faith to go to the right one. And he looked at that storm. And he rebuked the wind and the sea. I like it. The Bible says there arose a great tempest in the sea. And then in verse 26, the Bible said, then he arose. Woo! I said, then he arose. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Listen, the devil don't do much when I stand up, but when he does, I said, when he does, something's going to happen. I said, something is going to happen. Hallelujah to God. I'm trying to tell you, amen, he's a Savior that rescues. He's a Savior that hears and answers. He stood up. There's been times in my experience, Brother Ross, and I felt like God didn't care for me. Now, you know, you may not have been there, but the devil tried to convince me of that fact. God don't care for you. What is he doing? He's doing absolutely nothing. Well, he was doing something, but I didn't realize it. And the devil was playing on my fear. And there's times he'd just sit there. There's a twofold message there. What causes me to worry and fret, don't bother him. He just sits there and grins and bears it. Amen. Because he's God. He's got control. And he ain't afraid. But there's been times. Oh, there's been times that he stood up. I said, there's been times that he stood up, and I knew it when he did. hours not here, to another place, to a camp meeting, needing help from God. Went there. I got in. I pushed. I prayed. But I really didn't get what I felt like I needed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I went back home. At that time, I was pastor of a little church. We had 10 people, and 6 of them were mine. Amen. Imagine that. But I went back to church that Sunday, after service that morning. Everybody went home. We ate our lunch. I went back to the church, and I went to that church, and I said, God, I drove over 500 miles needing help, and I just don't feel like I got what I needed. And I'm going to tell you something. It was just me and God, Brother Messer, in that little white church. Just me and God. And all of a sudden, he stood up. Oh, he stood up. And I'm telling you, hey man, this boy shouted. There wasn't nobody there, but I shouted. I run the aisles of Spring Branch Pentecostal Fire Baptized Holiness Church. I anointed pews. I rolled in the floor. Hallelujah. What happened, brother? He stood up. I said he stood up. And I feel like the Holy Ghost wanted me to tell somebody, hey man, if you'll let him, he'll stand up in your situation. He'll stand up in your circumstance. And he'll give you a victory that overcomes the world. And when he stood up, it's kind of like that bully that beats up on that boy that's smaller than him. But when his daddy stands up, and that bully that's looking down on that little boy he's picking on looks up on that daddy who loves that little boy he's picking on. That bully. I'm telling you, there's a Savior that rescues. And it went from an extreme storm to from a great storm of wind to a great. Just as extreme as it could possibly get, it was the complete opposite of that. And it's all because Jesus stood up. Amen. I'd like to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. Young folks, I know you're battling peer pressure. I know the enemy's raging. But you can make it. I want to read this to you, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother Prescott. I hope I haven't preached too long, brother. Psalms 107 and 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now listen, God don't always command stormy winds. But you can rest assured God, if it happens, allowed it. And if God allowed it, what he's saying is, you can make it through this. I'm not saying that God has caused a storm in your life, but God has allowed that storm in your life. And because God allowed it, why did God allow the temptation of Job? Because he knew Job could overcome it. Not because Job was faithful, but because God is faithful. Amen. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men. Ever seen a drunk man walking down the road? He can't control himself. If he runs out in front of a car, he can't control that. He's being knocked around by an intoxicating drink. And that's what the storms of life do sometimes. I mean, they just knock us around and we don't have control sometimes. Amen. Oh, but he says, and I may lose it here, but I was thinking about this the other night at church. And I told him, I said, if we're on the rock, I'm not saying the devil won't knock me down. But when I fall, I'm going to fall on the rock. Amen. I'm going to fall on the rock, and whatever it was that was in my life that caused me not to be able to stand. He said, if I fall on the rock, I'm going to be broken, and God's going to take that thing out of my life that was causing me not to be able to stand. Amen. He said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm. Amen. Ain't that what it said? Amen. So that the waves thereof are still. Amen. And he said, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I tell you, church, heaven's in view. And by the grace of God, amen, Brother Burnett, I'm going to get there. I said, by the grace of God, I'm going to get there. You can make it. You can make it. Faithful is he that calleth you. Faithful is he that calleth you. And he will do it. He will bring it to pass. Amen. Young folks, be faithful. Because God will be faithful. And you can make it. If you're in a storm this morning, know that you're in the right place. Amen. And I'm believing, I'm trusting as Brother Preston. Amen. That the Lord's going to stand up in your situation and is going to give you peace before this meeting is over. Thank you, Brother Preston.
Praise the Lord.